Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Caribbean Corner, DNVR Nuggets show on the DNVR Sports Channel and on the DNVR Nuggets podcast feed. My name is Voya, currently in Belgrade, internationally in Lincoln, Nebraska. In school with me is Miroslav Chuk, also known as Miro, well known to the DNVR family. Well, Miro, introduce yourself if anyone doesn't know you by now.
Good day, everybody. We are pumped to be here. This is a big thing for me and for Voya. I'm sure the reason I always wanted to do this is because I love DNVR Nuggets, because they do two things. Usually one is to listen to the fan base, to their family all around. And the other thing is to educate the fan base, to be good fans, to be respectful and to properly understand how to follow your team when times are good and when times are bad. So what we are going to try to do on the Serbian Corner under DNVR roof is to continue the education and the listening to the fans. So you can expect us to hear from us some new things, some new perspectives that are not the usual thing in the US.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, we're not from America, you know, originally. So by that alone, we have a different perspective. So, you know, as we said, we're going to have some fun, talk about basketball, to get to know us and hopefully get a glimpse into Serbian fandom and what kind of makes us tick. I apologize for the voice. I'm on under protocol. I like NBA so much. I kind of have to go with the trend. As I said, you know, we're going to do a weekly weekend show here on the DNVR Nuggets podcast feed. We'll look at some interesting through lines, some main points, themes, mainly in the Nugget sphere. But we might touch up on, you know, it's a Serbian corner, so who knows, maybe if another Serbian kind of goes bananas in the NBA, we might have a little moment for them. And so we'll start the show as we will start every show with a Serbian fun fact of the week. And so yesterday was Christmas here, Orthodox Christmas, as you would say. And so Hristos se rodi to all of our Serbian listeners, and Merry Christmas to all. And so Mira will take it from here and tell us a little bit why it's celebrated on January 7th compared to what in America is on the 25th of December. So take it away, man.
Yeah, well, it is usual that we call it Serbian Christmas or Orthodox Christmas, but neither of those two facts are actually true. The truth is that the Serbian, Russian, and Orthodox Church in Jerusalem celebrate Christmas on January 7th, only those three Orthodox churches. And the reason for that is that these three Orthodox churches never upgraded to a newer calendar. Namely, until the 16th century, all the Christian churches had the same calendar called the Julian calendar, named after Julius Caesar. But in the 16th century, Pope Gregory XIII declared the new Gregorian calendar that was 13 days later than the old one, and he conveniently named it Gregorian calendar after him. Just to make things clear, Serbs do celebrate Christmas on December 25th. It's just according to the old calendar, the Orthodoxier Julian calendar. Now, if you ask me which calendar is better, the Gregorian is better aligned to the solar system, but it is still vastly inferior to the revised Julian calendar made by, well, what do you know, a Serbian scientist called Milutin Milanković in 1923, which differs from the other two by superior determination of leap years at the end of each century. If you ask me what day is it today according to this calendar, it is the same, January 8th, and it will stay the same until year 2800, when it will go one day further and be much, much more precise. You can see, let me see, okay, behind me there is a tree. This is not the Christmas tree. It is actually a New Year's tree, because Orthodox Serbs do not have Christmas tree. We have a Christmas oak branch called badnjak. The tradition is to burn the badnjak on the Christmas Eve, surrounded by your family and neighbors. Early on Christmas morning, so the morning after, a female member of the family collects water from a bucket with a bucket on a nearby well, spring, or stream. Of course, I'm talking about things that happened 100 years ago, so not everybody has a well in Serbia right now, just to be completely clear. This water is called strong water. An indispensable part of Christmas dinner is the česnica, a round loaf of bread. The dough for it is sometimes prepared with this strong water. A custom is to put a coin into the dough, and in northern part of Serbia called Vojvodina, where Nikola Jokic and I are from, a sweet cake pie variety of česnica is made using walnuts and honey, also with a coin inside. We usually arrange for the youngest member of the family to accidentally find the coin each year. So that's about what I have about Christmas.
I remember that the coin was always a big adventure. It's like a penny, but it's always fun to get it in the bread. It's great. I mean, it's great. This is my first time in 9 years that I've been here on Christmas. Yeah, exactly. That's the bread.
That's česnica. Yeah.
For me, it was really cool. It's under crappy circumstances with the protocols, but at least I was home for Christmas. Not stuck in an airport somewhere. So yeah, we warmed up with some fun facts. We do say Catholic Christmas for December 25th around here, because a lot of people that celebrate December 25th are Catholics. So it's kind of like it goes both ways. Like we both make mistakes. Like, oh, it's not Catholic. It's also not Orthodox specifically. It's just Christmas. So it is what it is. And then you said New Year's, we celebrate more with the presents because it also comes first. And then, the whole we didn't celebrate religion too much during the communism.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's also a fun fact. Communist regime made the New Year's the biggest event of the winter in former Yugoslavia. And it kind of sticks today as well. The New Year's is still a really, really big thing in Serbia and all of former Yugoslavia.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. This is obviously like a big deal for us. So this is why a little bit of a longer fun fact of the week. We'll probably next time will be a little shorter, get some more maybe basketball related stuff, or who knows. But so since we warmed up, we're going to get to our Rakia shots. Our custom with our DMVR guys, every post game, we do this before lunch. It's a national or lunch or dinner, national alcoholic drink. And it's used to make a toast. So what this segment will be is the quick headline, or like a quick shot of the week, if you will. Because this is going to be a weekly recap show, we're going to have like a kind of a theme, the first thing that we take away from this week. And so Miro, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I wanted to pick a very special kind of rakia for this week because of the depleted roster we had some guys that will probably not be in regular rotation as soon as everybody is hopefully healthy. Well, everybody who can be healthy at this point of the season. So my rakia shot of the week is called Daščara. Now, this is quite shocking for Voja as well. Did you know that you can distill rakia from anything that contains sugar? My grandfather told me that during the World War II, when the Nazis took all the fruits from the village he was living in, folks needed something else to make rakia with. So somebody remembered that there is enough sugar in wood planks to make the distilling process possible. So dashtera is a rakia made of wood planks. So what connects what connects this current version of nuggets and wood planks is the fact that all the nice fruit is benched right now. Well, actually, not all of them, because we had the game against Sacramento with quite a lot of nice fruit in the rotation. But before Sacramento, it was really a lot of wood planks instead of fruits. But this is not a harp against those guys. These guys are role players that should be role players and can contribute to winning basketball in those roles. But when you push them to the starting positions, to the starting rotations, then it can be, it wouldn't be optimal. So this is the main reason why the Nuggets are still struggling. This is why the main reason why they've been 2-2 last week as well.
Yeah, I mean, I see a question. Does rakia simply mean homemade booze? It's not really. I mean, it's the national drink, but it is a tradition to make it. You know, every family kind of has their own equipment to make it. So because it's so widespread and it's made from plums and mostly, and so plums grow everywhere here. So it's very easy to, every family kind of have their own traditional recipes and stuff. So it's really cool. That was a good pull. I got it. We didn't talk about this before. What he's gonna pick is his rakia, and that was basically draining a dry rag from this roster this week. Mine is kind of piggybacking off of that. Is the margin of error is very, it's very slim. It's like razor's edge, especially this week when we started with a lot of injuries and, with Houston and then Dallas, and you have the Utah game kind of having a very depleted roster. And it kind of started with Jamal getting hurt for me. That we don't have that two-man equalizer game, so you really, really have to be on point. And Adam started talking about this on Thursday on the show with his notebook episode with Harrison. You can have situations that we had against Utah, disregarding us, small man lineup that the Jazz had, and ignoring Jokic on the low post, turning the ball over against Dallas Mavericks. That was one of those. Man, we have 20 turnovers and it's three quarters in, and we were losing the game like that. And then you add on top of Jamal Murray, MPJ, PJ protocols this year. So that's kind of my rakia, the first thing I think about. And obviously it kind of irons out when we start getting guys back, against Sacramento, we can see a little bit of a better, play on the court. But otherwise, it's really bad. And unfortunately, that's why a lot of pessimism is surrounding this season. And one of the reasons we kind of want to talk about this, starting the new year is this reason. You want to add on something on that, or want to keep going? What do you think?
It's really tough. We want to find silver linings, and we can hop on the last night's game against Sacramento, because when you get Jeff Green, when you get Zeke Nnaji back, that's already a much better kind of rotation. And you can see that this roster is not poorly constructed, as some people on the internet like to say. It's just too many guys missing. And hopefully, while the season progresses, there is a small chance that we actually get both Jamal and Michael Porter back before the end of the season. It's not likely. It's not likely at all, but there is even in that possibility. So let's hang on to the thin strings of hope. And we still have the best player on the planet on our team. So I know that people in Cleveland used to be devastated about their seasons with LeBron, and somehow LeBron would just pull a miracle and go to the finals, because it was the miserable East. So this is the reason why he made it every time. But anyway, hopefully it will get better. And as Adam says, Serbian Christmas, Orthodox Christmas, or the Christmas on the Julian calendar can be a breaking point in the season, and everything can go up from there.
Yeah, especially coming back from protocols. And I mean, not just the players, again, it's the coaches too. Like, we had situations where, you know, it's Popeye Jones as a coach, not Michael Malone. And, you know, those margins of error too are like getting slimmer and slimmer. Like, the guys on the court have to be more even focused than they can afford to make mistakes like before. I mean, it's like for me, it's just, you can't have games like OKC when you get out rebounded, outscored in the paint, for example. Like, those are the kind of things you can control when you have Nikola Jokic on the court. And so those are the kind of, you know, margins of error that I'm addressing here. And I think going forward, like, yesterday was really good. It's kind of, this season is kind of weird to assess as well, as you have a game against Sacramento that's a blowout, and you have a Utah that's very close, and you see mistakes against Utah that usually can either be ironed, as I said, ironed out, or are avoided when you have a better roster, you know, present, when you don't have to rely on solely Facu and Rivers in the starting lineup, but they can come in off the bench and bring energy like they did last night. And so, and I, you know, I love the fact that, you know, we won yesterday for a change on Orthodox and against Sacramento too. We'll talk about that later. To finish Rakia's segment, we talked to, there was a question, is there like a competition for who has the best brew? You bet there is. There's a lot of them who has the best Rakia, and someone made a comment like, I'm pretty sure everyone thinks their domestic, homemade is the best. So,
yeah. One more thing
the Western Serbia is best for the Rakia. Like, every region is probably going to claim that, which kind of fun of it. Yeah,
that's right. They're all just different. It's like when your wife asks you, was your lover good in bed, and you say she was different. You know, that's the way you do it. That's the way with Rakias in Serbia. Anyway, what I wanted to say about the depleted roster also is the fact that the roster was depleted made the opponents really hard double Nikola Jokic throughout the week. Well, maybe a bit less against Sacramento, but before that, really hard. And the miracle thing about that, for the last four games, I'm including the Sunday game versus the Rockets, since Adam believes the week starts on Sunday, and he does have the stop broadcast button ready at all time.
There we go. We know who's producing.
we have to include the last Sunday, like the week before us. And those four games, Nuggets finished 2-2. And Nikola Jokic, even though he was hard doubled, scored 27.5 points on 70% true shooting. He actually had only 6 assists per game compared to Facu's 7 and Barton's surprising 5.8 assists per game. And Nikola solidified himself as the second best rebounder in the league with 14.5 rebounds per game this week. Everybody else, if we look at the players that played at least in 3 of the last 4 games, because there weren't many, the only ones in double digits were Gordon with 14.5, Will with 13.5, and Facu with 10. Everybody else was in single digits, if we look at the guys that played in more than 3 games.
This was a great synergy between Colorado and Serbia here. Patrick has, does weed have sugar? I want to make a cannabis rakia. And then Mitzlov comes in with the Tegrity rakia coming right out. We'll see. That's something, we might have to look into, because that'll be like the main, the DMVR rakia, the future DMVR rakia. So that's pretty much those are our headlines basically for the week. What are you feeling, Miro, now? What do you want to do? You want to go into the best or worst things first? Well, we go.
Yeah, Serbs always tell you, give me the worst thing first, because I'm tough. Let's handle the worst first, and then we'll go to the...
Let's go into the worst. So this worst segment for us is the Euro take foul. For us, I mean, for me, and I think for Miro too, and most basketball fans, is the universally the worst. Yeah, who knows, maybe. hopefully not, because that means I'm pantsless in that photo. So. Let's not go there. This is universally one of the worst things in basketball. Like, I hated it here, and especially because it was prominent in even in like younger younger generation clubs. Like I was seventh grade and people would do that here. Like you would get a good defensive stop, you know, push the break, and then someone would stop it by like taking that, you know, intentional foul. So this is going to be our worst thing. We couldn't come up with anything where, you know, something that we hated more. So what do you think? What was your worst thing of the week this
time? Yeah, the lowest I felt was right after the Houston game. That was the first game that Popeye Jones was managing the team from the sideline. And there were a lot of voices online calling out Michael Malone after that game. You know, there is no need to diminish what the Nuggets players, including Bol Bol, did in that game because the opponent was a dumpster fire. But also there is no need to call out Malone as a bad coach because the team has won their first game without him. Having strong takes on depleted roster is very unfair. We should just thank God that we have Nikola Jokic to keep the Nuggets around 500 until the reinforcements arrive, as I said before. So hopefully it will happen. And I don't know. It left the bad taste in my mouth, and hopefully we'll get to the point where we'll just block those people out, or some people will just stop having bad takes. Don't go to the YouTube pages, fan pages on YouTube. That's even worse.
Yeah, fair. Just when you said the comments for YouTube and stuff, I think Adam texted us in the comments, please, we understand Serbian, but a lot of DMVR listeners don't. So if you can text and put comments in English, that would be great, because then everyone can kind of follow up. Because a lot of our guys are here from Nugget Serbia show, and not everyone is so funny, but I'd like everyone else to know that you're funny too, so we can all enjoy the comedy and comments. So I agree. I mean, the Malone, you know, playing like more relaxed without him, and it's also Houston Rockets. Like, it's hard to like judge many coaching decisions and coaching effect in that game, since it was such a drumming and they were all falling apart and at the seams. And you know, you have Porter and Wood don't want to play after the first half, after Faku just basically schooled the pants out of them. And you know, Porter's like, I mean, he's leaving. I don't really want to comment into that. Like, I don't know what even happened with that. But that game is really hard to comment on coaching. The worst thing is that the people were ready. You know, it was just they were waiting for a moment to drum up that discussion again. It happened with OKC, with him benching the starters in the fourth, which, for the record, like, I know it's NBA. They're all like a lot of games. But as you know, someone grown up here, like, that's kind of what you do in leagues here. Like, if starters are that lethargic, you kind of you pull them and you teach them a lesson. Again, it's up for debate for the NBA season if that's necessary or not. But it was, for me at least, it was like, you know, it was good to see that kind of backbone in Malone and not taking any crap from his players on the court. And I mean, it's funny thing is, people are binary a lot of times here. You know, not here, I mean everywhere. It's either the worst thing everywhere, or the best thing. I mean, you know, we can fall into that category a lot of times too. Like, you kind of, your emotions get a better view when you're watching the games. And so that's kind of what's happening here. It's, you can't criticize certain things. It's either always the worst and he should be fired, or he's the best, don't talk bad about him. So, which I again, like in life, I think it's somewhere in the middle. He had bad moments, especially when the roster got like really, really depleted. He would have bad decisions of like when to put which player, because a lot of players were out of their position and out of their role in the team and what they were used to. So it's really interesting to, you know, to criticize. And actually, I mean, it was also, I'm pretty sure, a learning moment for him too, just to see kind of what to do in those moments. Cause it was really, I mean, not easy, but it's easier when you have Jamal and Jokic and then you have that loaded of a team, your mistakes can get neutralized. So I hope like moving forward, you know, we can, you know, assess everything differently. Cause again, you have Popeye Jones last night, you know, Sacramento's coming back from that lead and he doesn't call a timeout and the players have to be like, hey, we need to like regroup. And those are kind of the decisions that Malone would be torched for. But you know, that's what I mean. Like it was very like this, you know, disheartening, and it happens with everyone. Like Barton's like the main guy that goes to that. Cause when he's good, a lot of people don't even want to say that he's good, and when he's bad, like, you know, it gets rolling even, you know, they get on his case even more. So I agree, that was like one of the worst things. Do you have anything to add, or
About the taking out the whole starters away from the game because they sucked. The reason I liked it is because it's very normal in Europe, and all the basketball clubs, all the basketball teams are companies, and in every company, guy with a big salary makes the shots. And in Europe, you have top level basketball coaches that have higher salaries than their star players, and this is why they have the power over the team, and the team really listens to them. In NBA is completely different. I have no idea what's the salary on Michael Malone, but I'm quite sure it's much less comparing to Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and soon to be Michael Porter. So it's a bit different there, and this is why I think it wasn't a really super productive thing to do, but you know, as a Euro fan, I liked it, and the only thing I didn't like it that they didn't try to win a game, and in NBA there are so many meaningless games where you just need to win some of them, Nobody will remember what's really happened. You just need to tally enough games to escape from the play-in tournament at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, can I go?
Yep.
Yeah. Let's. I mean, for my worst thing is again, it's the injuries and the COVID protocols, which when I wrote this, I didn't know I was going to fall under that category, but it's not a novelty issue. I mean, it sucks. Like I said, I got to go home after 9 years for New Year's, and talking to some people, you know, they had some players and coaches stuck in some hotel rooms on New Year's Eve, and that must have sucked. Like that's just... I mean, I don't know how you would feel like getting stuck in a hotel room without your family on such like a big night of the year. I mean, I don't know. Like you have a couple of young kids. And, maybe that question.
I can live for one night.
Yeah. I mean, but just in general, like they're, you know, stuck in San Francisco in a hotel room. Again, like I'm stuck here. At least I'm home. I'm not somewhere in the middle. And then as far as injuries, man, this is my moment to shout out Vlatko. He broke his nose, then broke his foot. Contract here. You talked about it on Twitter, like, you know, and he is restricted free agent, and hopefully he'll be back because, I mean, not a lot of people show him love as a player because, you know, for the standards of like the NBA and what fans are trained and used to watching, he's not the flashiest. He's not like, I mean, I see more free Bol Bol tweets and comments than anything about Vlatko because, you know what to expect from him. He's a low mistake guy. He knows what to do. Like, I mean, he played for the Slovenian team in the Olympics with Luka Doncic and was like a big part of that team because of what he can do. And he just started, you know, because of all the injuries and stuff around it, he started getting some minutes and showing that he's kind of like the Jokic guy. Like, you know, the NBA guys started that, you know, the Jokic player, the Jokic guy. He's definitely one of them, not just because they're friends. I think just because of that mentality that comes from him. Like, he knows when to pass. Like, he can recognize the situations of, even though it's an 82-game season and every moment is like, there's so many moments that you can kind of disregard him and they're fleeting, he still understands, like, okay, now I need to pass Jokic in this situation, or I'm alone, the ball is popping, I need to take the shot, I'm not going to record scratch this. And he's like the guy that I really like watching play, because I'm like, I love playing like he did. And it sucks that he's probably going to get forgotten in this season for like some of the important stretches that he had, you know, like, because again, he's not flashy and that's the style of, the style that he plays. So that kind of sucks for me. Do you have any lack of thoughts?
Yeah.
We love him usually. We talked to Ogi Stojakovic about it when he was on our show last year, and he also said, I mean, basically the same thing, like, smart basketball player. So that's kind of why it sucks that he broke his foot like that and had surgery.
Yeah, the reason I love Vlatko is because he's a very well-educated player. He knows his role really, really well. He plays smartly all the time, and for a good team like Denver Nuggets is supposed to be and will be when they have the complete roster, he's a guy that can give you 30, 40 games of really solid minutes every season. And you need these minutes because the injuries happen every year, and you need guys to step in the role when they're asked for it, to be ready every time. And Vlatko was always ready. I don't remember a really bad Vlatko game at all. I don't know, maybe some time ago, but I don't really remember.
Maybe some of the advanced analytics will show some plus minuses and stuff. Sure. But the thing is, like, he doesn't, for me at least, like what I'm watching, he doesn't make like egregious mistakes that really pop out. Like maybe he'll be late a little bit because, you know, not playing that long, you know, that much, and so he's out of focus in that way. But besides those outlier situations, I think he's always ready. And when you said, like, if you want to build a championship team, I think you need those guys that are going to be always ready and to contribute in a long season. You know, you have, because Nuggets are kind of compared with Golden State in a way of timelines and drafting guys, like they're not bringing in a lot of free agents. That was pre-Durant era. And this kind of reminds me of that, you know, those seasons that they had, they would have to have players that would come up and be play like solidly throughout the season to actually ensure some stability through the whole way. And I think Vlatko is one of them. And again, as like, I guess I said also COVID protocols, like hopefully Coach Malone is good. Like, he's well and he's healthy, because I miss those rage timeouts, man. I don't know. Like, again, it's like, it's very frustrating for fans in 82 game season. It's a lot of like, come on, chill. Like, maybe you're putting in some nervousness into your own players. But again, as people from Europe watching those kind of games, like, we've seen like our coaches get bloody red of rage because of a simple miscue on defense and in a travel. Because I think he understands that the devil's in the details. Like, those details are the thing that gets you over the top. And kind of, if you don't have those small mistakes, you're going to beat the bad teams really, really soundly through the whole season. And then you're going to compete well against the better teams, because you're going to, or better record teams, because you're going to focus and play well anyway. But I miss it, because, again, it's not the same, like the pre-games, the post-game conferences. I miss Malone, so that was also like one of the worst things for me, because I just love watching that sometimes, like just seeing him pissed off and walking halfway on the court calling a timeout because of a bad turnover or something.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's not only Vlatko that is our guy, because he's from former Yugoslavia.
I also equally
miss PJ Dozier, who also ended his season in his contract year, and PJ was supposed to get paid after this season well, because we expected a lot of him, and I think he was able to deliver it. So hopefully he will get another shot with the Nuggets, and hopefully he will get his opportunity to earn some real money. I mean, NBA real money. But for NBA,
the Vlatko thing wasn't for the former Yugoslavia country. It just,
right.
I love the type of player. As I said, like when I played, I think I played similarly to him in a non-flashy, like sound way. So I just always look for the guys like that, and I'm also just, that's my personality. As I said at the beginning, you guys will get to know us basically through talking about basketball and what kind of we like. I mean, Monte is also my guy because of the same reasons of, you know, solid play. So now we're going to get to our best thing. And this is something very, very cool that, you know, people, I think, have heard about this dish. It's we're going to call it the Burek of the Week. Burek of the Week. It's a nice, juicy pastry dish, and it's either cheese, meat, or spinach in different shapes and sizes, but it's kind of that pie-shaped dish. And it's well known because Nikola Jokic used to eat it a lot when he was younger, around the time when he was turning pro. So this segment will be basically the best thing of the week, what we kind of liked the most, what was the juiciest storyline, performance, whole game, a play like that we want to talk 10 minutes about, like just anything that is like a high calorie count for us that we like the most. So you want to start us off?
Yeah, well, my Burek of the week is the interview that happened nine days ago, interview that Nikola Jokić did for the Serbian Sport Network Arena Sport. It was a New Year's Eve exclusive. And the reason this is my Burek of the week, as I mentioned on the DNBA show 2 days ago, is the fact that Nikola does these interviews in his native language very rarely, and those are the only interviews he feels comfortable in. Therefore, we can learn a lot from them. So, first of all, it was seen by about 200,000 Serbian-speaking people because there were no subtitles. Luckily, yours truly had nothing better to do with his family on January 1st. So I watched and tweeted all the quotes I thought that were interesting. And boy, there were some bangers. I already mentioned how proud he was about the silver medal he won at the Olympics, how his defense improved with better communication after he felt more comfortable speaking English on the court, the reasons for big comeback against the Clippers. So go back to the Thursday show if you missed it, because it's really nice. He also spoke about basketball becoming a real serious professional obligation for him, how he's aware of how important he is to the team and the need for him to make the right play on every possession on both sides of the court. Nikola also raved about Ogi Stojaković, our friend Ogi Stojaković, who gets a lot of credit for forcing Nikola to work on himself every day for 7 years. They used to swear at each other during trainings. That's how intense it was and probably still is. But now Ogi is Nikola's best friend in Denver and a real family friend. Ogi is also credited, this is an unknown thing, also credited for creating the Sombor shuffle because he recognized Nikola had better balance jumping off of his one foot. So kudos to Ogi for that.
That was a great like conversation. A lot, like, I think some people, I don't know if they misunderstood your translation or just in general what their relationship is. It's again one of those things that we want to show here with, because he was speaking that they were like cuss each other out during practices and sometimes not even talk, and because he thought, oh, this is, you know, he's going to be Serbian, I'm Serbian, we're going to be here, it's going to be all cool. And then Ogi was like, no, you're going to work your ass off and be better, because you can be much better. And then you would get to the point where, like, he would push him hard and harder probably than other coaches, because of, he knows the levels that, you know, players from Serbia can take because of the culture of coaching here, that it's still the coach, then the players in a lot of clubs. So that was really cool. And then, you know, I hope people didn't misunderstand. And then also he said, he was laughing, you know, jokingly said, like, I see this with Ogi and Vlatko right now. Like, Ogi wants the best for Vlatko, and Vlatko gets pissed sometimes because he gets on his ass to probably work harder on, like, or some of the details that he has to work on, which was awesome. And then, you know, I said, I had the same basketball coach as Ogi Stojaković, so I have a little bit of relationship with him through like basketball, and he's a great guy. Like, that was really cool to see Jokić, you know, addressing that, and because, you know, as he's director of player development, a lot of fans might not know him because of such a huge coaching staff, and it's, you know, it's a, you're not expected as a fan to know these things, and it was really cool to see that. And for me, just I kind of didn't get to say it on Thursday's show because of my internet connections and microphone issues and stuff. But, you know, the cool thing with him is he's relaxed in his own language again, you know, and barriers, and he knows a lot of these news guys here and like reporters and commentators. So it's kind of, I think with Jokić is a lot of, it has to be like a lot of familiarity to actually make himself relax. So he knows these guys, and so he was really chill and took up about an hour of his time. Like, it was 2 hours before the game that they did that interview against the Clippers. And so that was really cool to see. And then just his personality of how he's answering questions, you know, didn't seem like he was working the media. Like, you know, when he was deferring praise, you know, he shouted out Kat, he shouted out Embiid, Davis, a lot of guys, you know, in a lot of situations, you know, with PR machines in America, like, that would be considered maybe weak or something in that case. But he was very, like, gentlemanly. And then for me, the one of the best things for me is the hobby thing, because that's my big philosophy in life, is every man's got to have a hobby actually decompress and kind of relax from his everyday work, everyday life. And the horses thing is big for him. And then he also mentioned reading books because he didn't read them that much in high school, again, because he was, you know, practicing a lot. So now he's kind of making it up. And another thing I think I noticed that people were a little worried before the Dallas game, when he said he respects Dirk for staying in Dallas so long, is that he feels miserable sometimes before games and he really can't wait for them to finish. That was also like you'd have to like kind of get that from a different angle of, yeah, that's true, but I think it's because of just the doldrums of the season, and everyone, when they go to their jobs, has that moment of like, oh, I gotta go again.
No, it's Monday, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that it doesn't say that he's unhappy in Denver. It just says that sometimes he has those days, and then the hobbies are the things that keep him afloat because he can shut down and decompress. And then on the summers, that's why he likes going to Sombor. The fame is less because everyone knows him and they just treat him as one of their own. And so then he can decompress, go to his races, go to his horses, and then come back fresh and play like he plays. And so I think, like, I hope a lot of people hear us talk a bit about this and then see your tweets. I think a lot of players could benefit. And I hope like that push of like mental health that they started with DeRozan and Kevin Love is one of those things, is like, have some hobbies, like make yourself do some things, plug out from the world, plug out from Twitter and video gaming and stuff, do something for yourself and maybe with your family. Cause I think that'll go a long way with the 82 game season.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the funniest bits from this interview, when the guys asked him, what does he do with his free time during the game, during the, you know, the hours before the game? Everybody's on social media and he has none. And he said, well, I have my phone and I check the horse race results worldwide. This is the things that are interesting to me. And he also said that he doesn't use social media. He's staying off the grid because he doesn't want to speak when he doesn't have anything smart to say. And that's a very modest thing to say, a very philosophical thing to say. And I call that good family upbringing. It's really, yeah. It's really nice. It's like the story Adam told about to the two boxes. One is happiness, the other one is sadness. And you can open either of them and it will just pass. So it'll pass. It's very philosophical. It was very funny. He actually didn't want for the interview to end at all. He was just like, come on guys, you must have some other questions, because I think that was recorded like a couple of hours before the, was it Chicago?
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier.
Clippers game. Yeah, that's right. So he just, it was in LA. So he wanted to spend time with his friends. They're not his closest friends, but they're guys he knows for many years. And now back to the fortress of solitude, you know, before the game.
Yeah, and then just to end on the interview segment, just from what stuck out to me is the water polo team comment as well. Like just to kind of show the audience like what he values in sports and why they shouldn't really be worried that he's going to leave Denver. Because first, I think he and Jamal are really close friends, and that kind of starts with two of them. And he loves that idea of camaraderie in sports, like achieving something together and being friends along the way. And he's mentioned that one of the biggest things of the Olympics was, and he was, you know, that was almost like it'll be 6 years, 5.5 years ago. So what was he, 21, 22 at that point? He seeing like the water polo team that's a veteran world champion, Olympic champion team be that close was very like impactful to him, that it's really cool. Like that's how they achieve greatness. That's what he took away from that, is achieving greatness through being close. They're each other's, you know, best man, each other's friends. And then they're also like world champions and won everything, and probably the best like sports team in Serbian history is like, you know, from achieving and winning perspective. So that was really cool, because that kind of gives you like the situation. That's why it's not weird that he said Dirk never abandoned his team. He wants to be the next Tim Duncan with the Spurs, is that it's not just about winning, and it's how you win too. And I think Giannis also kind of confirmed that last year with the Bucks, like how fulfilling that whole thing is. And I think we'll be looking at Jokic a long time in Nuggets, just solely based on what I can gather from that interview. So that was pretty cool. You know, that was a great, you know, and you translating for people in America is really dope, because they can kind of get a better glimpse of some of the things that haven't had a chance to say, because again, it's post game. You're not focused. Like, it's English. It's a little bit different. So,
yeah. So thank you to Arena Sport. They had 5 days to translate it and they didn't. So thank you for the opportunity to shine.
Yeah, you got it. as far as my best thing, that was my, I called this shot like was a week ago. We talked about the show. I kind of put it in as hopefully my Boric of the week, Nuggets destroying Kings on Orthodox Christmas. And I was like, I'm not writing any alternatives. I'm hoping that'll happen and I'll speak it into existence.
Yeah, you would be Burekless if that didn't happen.
Exactly. Like, we would have been talking about the interview the whole time. So, I mean, they didn't give us they didn't give the Nuggets the Christmas game on TV. So, you know, the Nuggets made their own with yesterday's win. And, you know, they got swept by the Kings last year. Malone has a huge grudge against them. You know, people are back and forth from the protocols. Like, it was really cool to see that win. And the way they won, to me, was really impressive. And how Jokic kind of stepped up, and we'll talk about this one moment later in the final segment. But what do you think about this game? Like, kind of what stuck out to you from yesterday?
It's just the roster that is so much fuller than it was. You have a proper starters, and when you have proper starters, then you have the proper bench. I really liked the way Jermichael Green played in the starting unit, and it's not a huge surprise. Almost everybody plays well next to Nikola Jokic, but he was really, really good. Their connection was really nice. That no-look pass from Nikola to J. Mike was just chef kiss. So yeah. I really, really liked. I liked the ball was popping. It was really good. It was like a 20-point lead in the first half or something like that. It's really good. And luckily, when the Kings started climbing back, good thing about it, they didn't have Rishon Holmes to finish us out, so that was a lucky break for us. So, yeah, one of the best players in the world. So,
yeah, Rishon Holmes against the Nuggets. But to be fair,
I really like that guy. I'm not joking at all. I would love him on the Nuggets. I would love him.
No, I know. I understand. I mean, the funny thing was watching that game and looking at Alex Len and Damian Jones getting those floaters. You know, come on, them too. You know, it's the small like guard against us that kind of gets that shot like available. To me, like first off, like just doubling Jokic that lazily like the Kings did, and especially when he has the fuller roster. Even though, I mean, Jermichael Green played and he was a four, and then Gordon can go up to the three, and it was pretty also cool to see, because you know, when Jeff Green's there, then Gordon and him are kind of interchangeable. With this was kind of more like traditional, and I love the Jermichael Green in a dunker spot was really interesting too for me, because he can finish. It's just that he's not a center really, and so when he gets stuck in middle of a bunch of guys plays that he rolls and cuts, it's less, you know, we saw he miss a lot of things or like a lot of dunks, so it was really cool to see them trying that out and him finishing a bunch of stuff there. And then that kind of brings in his three and he can make some shots. Like, the funny thing was, again, I said that the doubling was hilarious. Just Jokic, how many assists he had. It was just one of those, not even, you know, anything special for him. He sees the double coming, the back guy doesn't help out, and the ball just goes down the middle, whoever cuts, like it's, you know, either Monte or Gordon or even Jermichael, or when Jeff was there, anyone, Barton. It was just all over the place. And then one possession, I think I could be wrong, but like one possession they play, I don't know if they play more than one, but one possession to try to play zone. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, it was, of course, it was what happened. Like, quick, you know, Gordon gets the Jokic in the middle. Jokic jumps it off to Jermichael Green down below because they have to get up to him, up to the level of Jokic. And they stopped immediately after that. We can't do this. So that was really fun. And then obviously Monte jawing a little bit at Haliburton at the beginning, the two Iowa State guys. I know that Hallie's your wet dream.
Yeah.
For the Nuggets.
Yeah, it was long time ago when I was even offering Michael Porter for Tyrese Haliburton, but I'm sticking with my guys. No worries.
Yeah, no, we're sticking with our guys. It was just, you know, you kind of see the why I love Monte so much too. He's not just solid; he's also a little chirpy. And a couple of days ago, the guys were talking about someone being a vocal leader like Draymond is for the Golden State Warriors, and Monte was mentioned. I kind of believe, I mean, unfortunately, doesn't have the production this year. He kind of started off on the wrong knee, so to speak. But I think he definitely could be that guy, because I still remember the drawing of LeBron, like when he did that in his like third year, maybe in the season, in the NBA career, maybe second year in the regular rotation. That was like, he looks like very steady, and because he's low mistake prone, he seemed very calm and stuff, but I think he's has a lot of fire under him that can benefit this team. I just hope that they can bring it out of him, you know, with Jamal, and two of them can get that like spark going when it's necessary. So yeah. And then, you have anything else for that game? I mean, that was probably one of my best things that first half, just the double teaming and the zone attempt. And obviously like the Jeff Green Faku role. Yeah. I was going to ask you, so what do you think about Jeff being on the bench and then Jermichael still starting for the next few games to try it out, or do you think getting Jeff back in the starting lineup?
No, for a couple of games, I'm completely fine with that, because that might actually work in these circumstances. But you know, if you look at the long view of the season, I really want Jeff back in the starting season, in the starting unit, because he can imitate playing the three, unlike Mike. He is a much better complement to Aaron Gordon, and of course I want to see that back, and hopefully they will find a way to include J-Mike more playing inside successfully, because you know it's really tough for you to stay hot from the outside when you don't go to the basket at all. It's really hard. Nobody likes doing that. Well, except for some egomaniacs that just shoot every ball like I do on my pickup game, but I'm 42, so I'm allowed. So yeah. Anyway, for a couple of games for sure. That's a interesting idea. I'm not sure that Michael Malone will like it when he comes back to the helm, but we'll see.
Well, for me,
it's good to know that it's out there. The possibilities out there.
Yeah, I'm going to repeat myself from the Serbian speaking show we did earlier. Just because Jeff, for me, at least like from what I've seen this season, honestly, throughout his career, I think he's probably the most dynamic, like the quickest roller that we have on the team. It might be even including Jokic, because Jokic is like a big body, so he can take his time of quickly spinning out. But with Faku, I think we saw the three offenses in a row when he just, you know, blocks, quickly rolls, and he gets the ball, pocket pass from Faku, like, because, you know, Faku's a lightning bolt. I think that's why it worked so well. And I mean, it could work, you know, well against other teams. So I'm up for trying, not too much, not to mess with the lineups too much. But that was interesting, because I think, like, even Zeke and Jermichael Green are a little slower on the roll and less athletic, shockingly, for compared to the 35-year-old. But that was, I mean, that was impressive. Like what Jeff did the other, you know, before the halftime. It was six, and then went up to 12 point difference. Like that was big. So you know, we got to shout out, like, because you know, Brendan's gonna get mad at us if we don't shout out Faku. So we wanna appease the overlords. So yeah, that was. You wanna go into our final segment, quick little segment, Enoch moment of the week. As you know, there's something very, very Serbian. Yeah, those are the eyes.
Eric is on fire with these.
I know, it's really, the eyes are awesome. It's kind of, it's basically the best visual depiction of an Inat eyes. It's very like the very Serbian. The actual word, I think, Inat was invented by the behavior that we exhibit at certain situations. It's like the utter defiance in spite of great odds, or complete proud stubbornness to the point of self-destruction. We kind of see both. We can kind of see both things throughout the Jokic career, and obviously, like every one of us. But for the Nuggets fans, so it's very fitting that then Jokic has the Inat moment this week, and it's it's the destruction of Kings after the referee kind of didn't stop calling fouls for him inside, and so he had the little smile, and then he buried a three, and then he just took over and went up to 30 points, you know, 27 points in 25 minutes or something like that. Basically, that was that like utter defiance moment of like, oh, you're gonna mess with me, I'm gonna show you. And you know, Djokovic is prominent in headlines. Like that's also his thing with the U.S. Open, with the crowd, and you know, oh, you're against me, I'm going to show you. And then again, we've seen Jokic, which again he alluded to in his interview that he has games sometimes where he doesn't want to shoot or doesn't want to pass. We've seen those games with him too. So for me, like, what do you think about that moment?
Yes, and Nicola actually knows about those games. He mentioned that in interview that, you know, from time to time I do have those games when I don't want to shoot or don't want to pass at all. And he actually mentioned that was one of those games was the Barcelona game. Well, the game played against somebody and Barcelona guys were watching.
Yeah, Televita, yeah.
Yeah, and so he was supposed to sign for Barcelona, but he had one of those games and they just said, okay, we'll wait a couple of months. Yeah. And then, you know, Nurkic got hurt and Denver acted fast and the rest is history. Yeah, I agree. That looked a bit like Djokovic, you know, that cynical smile for the audience. But I don't think Nicola has that in him. At least not yet. He might get to that point because even Novak Djokovic wasn't as confident as he is today, like 10 years ago. He used to forfeit matches because of the health issues and things like that, but he worked hard on that to become the most dominant tennis player of all time. But what I think that smile was Nicola saying to himself, come on, man, it's Christmas. You're supposed to act nice to everybody on Christmas. And it's really a thing here in Serbia. We're really super nice to each other on Christmas. I don't mean inside the house. We act normally inside the house. But when you go to the store, when you go to the market, you're super nice to everybody. You say Merry Christmas to everybody, the people you don't know. You don't care. It's just you're super nice. So maybe that was the angle he was using. He was trying to be super positive. And it worked. It really worked.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think he was teetering on the edge of going on in the other direction. But for me, it was just I think he has it. I might just slightly disagree there with you, that he's worked. I think the last season showed a lot in the playoffs with Portland. I think he has a lot of it in him. It just maybe just honing it in. Always to be positive, not just negative. So I think like that was a great moment, and especially after Alvin Gentry did the Doc Rivers thing of like, yeah, he has as good of an IQ as anyone in the NBA, or he's a top three passer in the league. That kind of sounds like a great compliment, but really like to the level that he's playing is kind of a neg. So it was pretty cool like just to torch them, especially at the beginning, like the assists and then just how he scored it eventually at the end of the game, you know, and then refs, obviously we're not going to waste time on the refereeing and stuff. It's evident at this point. We're not going to rehash that he should get more free throws and, you know, get beaten up less, but it is what it is. When you're that dominant, sometimes it comes with the territory. So that's kind of what it is. So anything else to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I just wanted to call everybody. I cannot imagine there is somebody watching this that's not already subscribed to the DNVR Sports channel. Yeah. But in case you're not, just like and subscribe. It really is important for the channel to grow. And also contemplate on paying for the subscription for the DNVR because there is so much great content behind the paywall. Great stuff from Harrison Wynn, great stuff from Brandon Vogt, great the list from Adam Mares. So you're missing out hugely if you're not a member. And I've been a member for years and never complained about it.
Yep, strong agree. And you know, find us here every week. We'll be on the Serbian corner and on our If for Serbian speaking audiences, we have the Nugget Serbia channel. So, you know, have fun, enjoy basketball. We'll implement the Let's Go Nuggets in Serbia and hopefully you'll pick it up. Idemo Nuggets team. See you next week.
Jedem, wann ich sehe.